We are going on with our study of the relief, the aid that the Body of Christ churches, brand new, you know, starting in, back there in mid-Acts, they started, and the Lord had, even though Israel had fallen, there were some that believed, and the Lord took care of them. The ones that believed, the apostles had told them to sell all, bring the proceeds and place them at the apostles' feet, and the apostles would distribute it as there was need. So when they needed clothes or they needed food or whatever, they would come to the apostles, and it would be handed out equally, equitably. That's not the term. Fairly, put it that way. But there, you know, then there was some differences, and they appointed 7 servers to serve the table, serve the food. But eventually, since Israel fell, the kingdom didn't come in, and they had given their money to be part of the kingdom, and the kingdom didn't come, so they ran out of money, or were running out, and the Lord took care of them. The Lord had Paul challenge the Body of Christ assemblies to contribute and to keep those fed and clothed there in Jerusalem that had believed. Even though they had believed in Israel's program, believed Israel's gospel, and they still believed it, even though it wasn't, the kingdom was not at hand anymore. It could have been received, but it was rejected by the leadership of Israel. It's still coming in the future. Christ will appear. Every eye will see, and he will touch down on the Mount of Olives, split that Mount of Olives in half, and go on from there what is taught about the tribulation time, the Daniel 70th week, called Jacob's Trouble, and it'll be going into, from there, into the what's called the millennium, or the 1,000-year reign. 6 times the Bible mentions that it's 1,000 years that reign of Christ will be. So that's a little background. We did talk about the Antioch church in Acts 11 giving to the Church of God. Then we talked about the churches of Galatia that they sent to the Church of God there in Jerusalem. And then we talked about the Thessalonican over in Macedonia giving also. And today we want to pick up with Corinth. In Achaia, I think it's pronounced, where Athens is down there in Greece, just west of Athens, actually. Let's start with some scripture. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16:1. It'll expose it the best, and we know it's the truth. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, I've given order to the churches of Galatia. Even so, I missed a word there, didn't I? It doesn't seem to make sense. Let me do that again. Got to get it right. The word is right. I got to get it right. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And if someone sees fit to post the verses, that would help everybody to actually see the Word of God on the page there. And when did he give the orders to the churches of Galatia about the collection for the saints? Well, he designated elders in every city, every church where he had planted a church. That was in Acts 14:23, and you read about it also in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 10. So and there's no private interpretation. Everything matches in the scripture when it's really the scripture, when you're reading a preserved, pure copy of the Holy Scriptures. go to the second verse. That's 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. In other words, save up, as God has prospered him. Let there be no gatherings when I come. Verse 3. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters... and here, approved by, they're approving what would eventually be elders. They're the ones to, well, let me finish the verse. It was before they were named elders, but when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Liberality is another word for generous gift to those that need it in the poor saints in Jerusalem. Verse 4. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. He would head the group, in other words. Verse 13, down in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Verse 14, before we go on, it doesn't mean give up, quit you like men. Quit, I think that's where we get our word acquit. It's kind of like let the final acquittal or final judgment of you be that you acted manly. Quit you like men, that you acted maturely. Verse 14, let all your things be done with charity. Wow, that's an overriding rule. Don't do anything without it being helpful to others. Verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. First ones to believe when he got down there to that province of Achaia that contains... did contain Corinth and Athens. You know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, serving the saints. The saints in Jerusalem needed to have things served to them, given to them. Money for food, money for clothes. So, where are the saints? They're the saints in Jerusalem. And we find that out in the next verse here. I think it mentions it down here somewhere. Maybe not by name. But it's congruent with the rest of these teachings that he does through his epistles. That's where it is. That he's talking about the poor saints. Strictly the ones in Jerusalem that followed those rules there that Peter mentioned in, I think it was Acts 2:33, I think, 33 or 43. And then again in chapter 3 or 4, he mentions it toward the end of the chapter again. Verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such, talking about Stephanas and his household, that they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such. Unto them. He's talking about giving. He's calling on them to give like the Stephanas household gave their own selves. Submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So not only do verses 15 and 18 encourage the feeding of the flock in Jerusalem, but they teach those believers to participate in giving to relieve the saints in Jerusalem. So, verse 17. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. In other words, we fell short in what we were going to give Jerusalem, but their gift made up the difference. Verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Not just them, not just Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, but those who refresh the spirits of the helpers, the leaders, and the workers. Be an encourager. It's appreciated. It's helpful. I mean, it works. It helps keep people motivated. So, but that's not talking so much about church leadership. It was talking about leading in a ministry, the ministry of financially relieving that one church, the Church of God, where those particular saints had given up all they had to bring in the kingdom, and the kingdom didn't come, and that's a specific situation that all these scriptures are talking about, not an ongoing thing where you pass the plate each week. That's a totally different thing. Okay. All right, let's go on to, again, aid from Corinth, but this will be 2 Corinthians 8. Let's switch over to 2 Corinthians 8 and look there. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. We make you to know, in other words. We want you to understand. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. That would be the ones that we know about from the scriptures. It would be Philippi and Thessalonica. He mentions, Neapolis, I think it is, where they land. But I don't know that he had a church there. So, going on, 2 Corinthians 8:2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, they were having a hard time themselves, financially strapped, but they gave fluently. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us much more entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. To those saints in Jerusalem, in other words. Receive this gift, take it to them that need it in Jerusalem. So, but fellowship is two-way. And here, fellowship is being partners in giving to the Church of God in Jerusalem. Pardon me a minute. Let's go to verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us, by the will of God. Jump down to verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation being more forward, of his own accord, he went unto you. So he was of the same mind and initiated it. Excuse me again, please. Verse 18, 2 Corinthians 8:18, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Now, I don't know who that is, but I would have liked to have been me, and I'm sure, you know, any of us, you'd be grateful to have a reputation like that, wouldn't you? We have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Verse 19, and not only that, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace. No, it's not talking about being sent out from Jerusalem like Paul and Barnabas. It's talking about from those churches to Jerusalem, sent it was a big deal, taking a big sum of money in those days without, you know, Coast Guard and police and protection. They were out in the wilds, and the sailors, they didn't know if the sailors was going to try and steal it, or the, you know, pirates would come. they needed protection. And, you know, there was Andronicus and Junia and the others that were still trusting in Israel's gospel, still enduring to the end, but they believed that Paul's gospel was what was being offered at that time now, and that the gospel of the circumcision was no longer being being offered or preached. And so they helped Paul, as it says, I think it's Colossians 3:10 or 11, and Romans 16:7 mentions it, and another place that I can't think of offhand. So, verse 19, not only that, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Going down to verse 20. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. In other words, we're taking extra people along, all as witnesses, that nobody's dipping their hand into the bag to take some. That no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. Verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. This all goes to confirm what is obvious by now, that these Body of Christ assemblies were donating to keep the poor saints alive there in the flock called the Church of God in Jerusalem. Verse 22. Did I read 21? Yeah, 21. Providing for things, honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved, who we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Verse 23, and then we'll go on down to chapter 9. Verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. In other words, in this deed, this what we're doing here. He is my partner and fellow helper concerning you and our brethren be inquired of, the group that's going along with us. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. So there was a group, and that's what Paul tells Timothy, that he's got to know how to manage these people, and when they get to the Church of God, Church of the Living God in Jerusalem, how to behave, what's the protocol. So going on to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1, that part about Timothy is not in this section. That's in 1 Timothy, I believe. And we'll get to that a little later. As touching the ministering of the saints, it's superfluous for me to write to you. Jump down to verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he, you can see this, this, and just like in Galatians, what is it, 6, verses 7 and 8, I think it is, there's a Jewish flavor of the law, you know, the blessing, the physical blessing, still going on in the dispensation of the gospel, before the dispensation of the grace of God that we're in. Both in the body of Christ, let me hasten to say, the difference being Paul was concentrating on the Jew and not distracting Jews with having pork-eating heathen idol worshipper, former idol worshippers coming into the church. And that confluence that would have caused a great difficulty for any more Jews to come in. They wouldn't be diminishing, they would be ended. There would be no more Jews coming in, which is what happened at the end of Acts. But Paul didn't allow that before then, or the Lord didn't. The Lord called him to the Jew first and also to the Greek, according to Romans 1:16. During that time, not during this time the call is to all people to believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins, died for our sins. They're died for. Forgiveness comes to you when you believe that Christ died for your sins, that they're all paid for. Where were we? In the middle of verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. How many times have you heard that in today's meetings when they're praying about an offering they want to take? The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Don't give out of constraint or out of debt, but with a cheerful heart, as you purpose in your heart. Well, that was... that's what Paul was saying about this one event. It went over a decade or so, a period of time until that church had died out, but in Jerusalem. But it was not applied to other churches in Judea. It was not applied, in the Reformation time. It was never applied scripturally to us. It was only that one incident. I should say that one situation, not the one incident. It was a bunch of incidents, all these different gifts going there, because they kept needing food until they died. So God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Amen. That's true. That you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 9, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. The poor is talking, it's a prophecy about those poor in Jerusalem. His righteousness remaineth forever. And that is a display of God's righteousness, that he did not desert those disciples that believed him. Good to see you. Glad you could come in. So let's go on. These two Old Testament verses refer to Israel's being poor and their being helped by the Lord. Look at Psalms 112, verse 9, and then we'll look at Psalm 12, verse 5. But Psalm 112, verse 9, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. And then Psalm 12, verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. So, but you can hear in those words that we just read from those two Old Testament verses, there's not even a hint of the mystery of Christ in there, the mystery that Christ revealed to Paul and by which he saved Paul, this new pattern of salvation that started with unforgivable Paul being saved. Christ died for Paul's sins. That took care of any forgiveness that was needed. It wasn't forgiven, was it? When a man dies, a death penalty, it's carried out. I mean, the sentence is carried out. It's not forgiven. It's gone. It's already, your sins are gone. Christ died for your sins on Calvary. Believe him. That's your salvation. So Let's go down to verse 10. I think we were at 9. This will be 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Yeah, breathing. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your own, multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. In other words, I think he's saying a lot of thanksgivings. There's a lot of giving thanks for this gift, the gifts. They're thankful for it in Jerusalem. 2 Corinthians 9:13, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. We've got one verse here from one verse will work. One verse from Rome to Jerusalem about Rome giving to the church or the believers in Rome. That's Romans 12, verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Okay. Going on to the 8th. This will be from Greece to Jerusalem. Romans chapter 15, verse 25 and 26. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. You know, at first reading, if you don't connect it with all these other coincident things, not coincident in the sense of chance, but at talking about the same incident, if you didn't know about that, you would think he's talking about going and preaching to the saints, but he's ministering, he's serving up what they need, serving them the money to buy the food and clothes that they didn't have. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. How much more specific could he be, right? The poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Paul is telling what has happened in the past, not necessarily on that present trip. He's talking about what had happened. Paul is referring to his visits in Acts 16 and 17 and 18 in Thessalonica, Macedonia, and let's look at the verses about that. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. They needed support. They needed relief and aid. Be patient toward all men. In Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. That comes pretty close to a command, but it's not, is it? Do ye. It could be an urging. It could be a permission. But it says he gave order to the churches. So this do ye is the same thing. It's an order. I don't know why he said didn't say command, but it's pretty strong. They needed to do it. Paul was under compulsion. Remember when Ananias was sent by Christ to Paul, it says how much things he must suffer for my sake. He had to go through it or else he would have been still unforgivable, unsaved, and either falling into hell at the time of the Damascus road trip, or he accepted it, though. We don't have to speculate about when he would have died. And let's see if there's anything in text here. Okay. We read verse 1. This is 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you... That's not you listening to me. That's those in that first century church that had that situation in front of them to keep the poor saints in Jerusalem alive. He says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. So that's a repeat. We read that earlier, but I think in a different instance. It was showing a different point. This is trying to bring together the consecutive cities, the teachings to each city as we go along. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Clear there, I think. Romans 15:27, it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual blessings, remember this is still the heathen Gentiles had not been preached. Paul wasn't yet sent to the heathen Gentiles. He was sent to the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks were Gentiles, but they were God-fearing Gentiles. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. In other words, give them the food they need. But back to those Greeks and the Gentiles there. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, that's exactly what they were doing. They were coming to the synagogues with their tithes and studying and listening to the scriptures of the living God each week, each Sabbath day. They were honoring God. They were fitting in with the place where they benefit in Israel's covenant with God, that God said, I will bless them that bless thee. And they were receiving that blessing. And that's exactly what Romans 11:11 is talking about. Let me just pull that up before we go on to the next proof here. Romans 11:11 says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather, there we go, thank you. Through their fall is salvation come unto the Gentiles. Well, by that time, it hadn't come to all the Gentiles, and I'm not sure which word is used there, but it doesn't matter. At that time, it had come to the Greeks in the synagogues. Paul went synagogue to synagogue to synagogue to synagogue. I think 9 consecutive synagogues there, starting with Damascus in Acts 9. And he preached to the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles that were in the synagogues were just the Greeks. Now, through their fall is salvation come unto the Gentiles. It didn't come to those idol-worshipping, stone-throwing Gentiles that didn't care a hoot about God or the Jews or any covenants that they didn't believe in. Salvation came to the Greek Jews that had listened to Paul preach in the synagogues, for to provoke Israel to jealousy. And it would, to see part of their assembly starting to believe, part of their synagogue starting to believe Paul's gospel. That's what the Gentiles are there in Romans 11:11. And the same thing fits for Acts 26:17. And the same thing fits for Acts 9:15, those Gentiles. All right, one more verse on this regarding Corinth and Achaia, and then we'll get to Ephesus in Miletus and that trip there in Acts 20. But this is Romans 15, verse 27. I read that verse. Yeah, so we don't need. Well, let me. That's the one about. It hath pleased them verily. I think you can see it, third verse up there in the text. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. The next one. I've got that this is the ninth body of Christ assembly, but I'm not sure of that. Aid from Ephesus in Miletus. That's in Asia of Turkey, the province of Turkey. Ephesus sending to Jerusalem. So we can see that it is the elders from Ephesus there in verse 20, Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Why do you suppose he called the elders? Not because 300 years later Rome had started setting up a hierarchy in the church, calling some elders, some deacons, some priests, or not because in the Reformation that was what was held on to, that hierarchy system and the renaming of, I don't know what friars are. I know there's only one priest for us, and that's Jesus Christ. The priesting has already been done on the cross. Anyway, but we can see here why they had been ordained as elders back in Acts 14:23. Paul ordained elders in the churches, in all the churches, it says. So this is the only place in Scripture that tells what the purpose of elders is in a dispensation of the gospel back then. In the body of Christ, but it was before the gospel was dispensed to all people as the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God. It was available to all people. I'm not saying that. Don't get confused. I'm not saying that if an alien Gentile, a pork eater, if they heard the gospel and realized their need of a Savior and believed, they would have been saved. But it's just that Paul wasn't sent to them. They had no opportunity to hear. You know, except maybe a relative was a Greek going to the synagogues. You know, a Greek Gentile, not nationally, but by the definition of being a seeker of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And their relative might have talked to them about it. There's all kinds of situations, but the point is, Paul was not sent to all people until Acts 20, verse 6, and all his writings before that, you have to take that into account, that he may be talking about the body of Christ. That's fine, that's good and true, but he may talk about other things too, still taking the Passover, wearing head coverings, not eating food. You know, all those things have nothing to do with us today, after the end of Israel's diminishing, when they were cast away and blinded. It has nothing to do with us in the dispensation of the grace of God. So, but there's no other place in the Bible that tells us some other purpose of the elders, such as to lead the body of Christ churches. They're not the leaders. They're to be chosen from the leaders, and we'll get a little bit into the leadership later. It's late now. Tomorrow. Tomorrow after we listen to Mark. But here in Acts 20, verse 28, Paul is talking to those named as elders from the body of Christ Church in Ephesus, and he says, Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. So the elders are the overseers. And that word is a Greek word that is translated elsewhere as bishop. Okay, in Titus 1:7, I think it is, it's translated as bishop. So that's what we're talking about. The bishops are to oversee. That's their job. They're not bishops like over a bunch of churches. It's to oversee the feeding of that one church in Jerusalem. It's not to be carried on as a idol or as a people to be worshipped, like a fourth person of the Trinity or something. So, hath made you overseers. Hath made, that's past tense. Just like hath purchased in the end of the verse to feed the flock of, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So here we see that the elders in verse 17 are the overseers in verse 28. Overseers or elders? Elders or overseers. Also, we see that the word translated overseer is the same word as is translated bishop in Titus 1:7. They're all the same word. Bishop, overseer, elder. We're getting close to closing here. Three more verses. Let's do Acts 20, verse 33, verse 34, and verse 35. Starting with 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. That's what they were sending, wasn't it? In other words, he's saying, I'm not taking, I'm not tempted to take any of this that we're delivering. Verse 34, you yourselves know that with these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. He earned his way. He made tents. Paul made his own income as a tent maker and the income of those that were in his entourage. Also, verse 34 shows us the meaning of ministered. It means to serve. And then going on finally to Acts 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. That's those poor saints in Jerusalem. They're called weaker brothers. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that concludes this part. That's all I've got for today, and at least in this lesson. But we'll take time for questions.